We thank you. Your word says that we need to praise you and to thank you. And last, when we went to Hilo and we celebrated with Pastor Torres and his congregation, and Pastor Wayne preached, and he said, shout to the Lord. And this morning we shout to you. We shout our praises and we shout our thanks because of the God that you are. We shout, Lord, that we can rejoice because we know who you are. And we shout because we know that we are your children. And we shout because you answer prayers, Lord. And we shout because we feel your presence. And we shout because you indwell within us. And we shout despite of what happens. And the word says, in everything we give thanks, rather in the good times than rather in the bad times, we shout unto you and we give thanks. So this morning we shout and we praise you, and we thank you that we can be here this morning. We thank you for all that you have done for us, for being the God that you are, a good God who loves us in spite of who we are. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, talk about celebration. And we had last month, all in a row, we had lots of birthdays too. And my niece's birthday was on the 23rd. Another niece was on the 24th. And the 25th was a nephew in California. And on the 26th was Pastor Phil's birthday. So I'm on the phone calling everybody, happy birthday, happy birthday. Oh, Auntie, you remembered. Yes, because I had to write it down. If not, I would have forgotten. So it's marked all on my calendar, all the birthdays. And thank God for just keeping all of our loved ones. So in the spirit of celebration, it finds natural expression in parties, in get-together, in the times of laughter and festivities. But the celebrating spirit need not limit itself to party time. In fact, in Philippians 4:4 tells us that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. The spirit of celebration is for all of our lives. This means that celebration shows itself in little moments of grace, as well as in a noisy luau. And it sighs in satisfaction over a humble task done to God's glory, and happiness over a creative task that is completed. And it always is an understanding. It's also in an understanding glance, as well as in a gala anniversary party. Most of celebration, you know, shines in quiet gratitude to God that had blessed our homes and blessed our lives with the spirit of loveliness. We celebrate because our lives have been overflowed with things to be thankful for, and because God gives us eyes to see how lovingly he has blessed our homes, how lovingly he has blessed our loved ones, and he has blessed all of those in the church, our church family. God has blessed us so much. Therefore, we need, as Paul encourages us, to rejoice always, to rejoice in the Lord, to shout and praise him, celebrate his blessings upon us. There are many ways to celebrate God's gift in our lives, our relationship with him and of himself. We celebrate when we rejoice in beauty and when we work to make our lives beautiful. We celebrate when we take the time to nurture ourselves and our families. We celebrate through our willingness to share, to love one another, and to grow in the grace of God. We celebrate by opening our lives to the Lord, letting his spirit fill our lives with loveliness. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 6. Excuse me. Now, in this chapter, we'll read about David and how he so wanted to bring back the Ark of the Covenant. He built a special tent for it. And at this time, this is his second attempt to bring back the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the Philistine territory. The first attempt, in his haste to bring back the Ark of the Covenant, he completely, I don't know if he forgot, but he completely disregarded the rules and regulations that God had concerning the removal of the Ark of the Covenant. In this time, the first attempt, they put the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart, pulled by oxen. And Uzziah and his brother walked besides the cart. And when the cart hit a bump, the Ark of the Covenant moved a little bit. And Uzziah put his hand to hold it so it wouldn't fall off. Immediately, as he touched the ark, he died. And they, at this time, was close by to Obed, Elam's home. They left the ark there at his home. And David went back. He was fearful, but he was angry at God. And he came back home, and he sought God, and he questioned God, why? And then God brought back to memory, you did not follow the rules, the regulation that I had, because this was God's presence here in the ark. And so it was important that they follow what God said you needed to do. In other words, he was disobedient to God's, to what God had ordered it to be. And so, after he, 3 months later, we are here now in this verse, 3 months later, after he had a victory over the Philistines, he got his men together, and they all went to Obed-Edom's house to retrieve and bring back the ark to the city of Jerusalem. And in this first year, as they were coming and entering, now this time he did it the right way. He did it God's way. And so there are sometimes we need to do things God's way, not our way. We need to pray before we do something. We need to pray and ask God, dear God, is this your will that I change my job? Is this your will, God, that I send my child to this school? Lord, is this your will? And he will let you know, as he had let David know. And so David, now in verse 14 of 2 Samuel 6, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. Now the ephod is a garment that the priest wore. It was a linen garment that he wore under his robes. In this case, David took off his royal robes and he put on the ephod of the priest, because he wanted to bring praises and worship to his God. And he put it on. And so as they were traveling down, coming down into the city of Jerusalem, and as the priests carried the ark on their shoulders, as God wanted it, said it should be, and the people came after the ark, and they marched into the, coming into the city, at the, after the priest took six steps, they stopped, and David offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. There was much celebration. They celebrated the return of the ark, the presence of God into their city. And David danced. He danced and he praised God. He celebrated, brothers and sisters, like we celebrate when God answers our prayers, like we rejoice and we celebrate and give God the thanks for what he has done. David celebrated. He didn't care who looked at him. He danced with all his might. He danced and he praised God. He clapped his hand. He sang to the Lord. He danced and he danced because God had brought them through and God had answered prayers. And he celebrated, brothers and sisters. And David went down, he brought the ark, and he placed it into this special tent. And again, there was offering the sacrifices made unto God in thanksgiving, because now they had the presence. They had the presence of God that sat in between the cherubim of the ark, and God's presence was there with them. Brothers and sisters, we need God's presence. We need his presence in our daily lives. Every day in our walk, we need God's presence. We need his covering. We need the Holy Spirit living in us that will guide us and tell us, no, child, don't go there. Yes, child, you go there. No, child, you don't do this. This is not what I say in my Bible. This is not what I want you to do. When you are open to the Holy Spirit and let him guide you, you go where God leads you to go without question. And so David danced before the Lord, and his wife watched from the palace, and she watched, and she saw him dancing with his ephod, and she looked at him, and she despised him. She despised him. And when they did their celebration, and when they did all their offerings, he blessed each family. Each family, he blessed them. He prayed over them, and he gave them loaves of raisin and loaves of figs, and he blessed their household. And when he went home, his wife looked at him in disgust, and she said, "You, the king, What's the matter with you? You humiliated yourself dancing before the handmaidens in your inner garments." And David said unto her, "It was before the Lord, with who chose me before thy father and before all his house, so appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord and over Israel. Therefore will I play." He says, in other words, he says, "Therefore I will celebrate. Therefore I will rejoice." He says, "Therefore I will play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile," he said, "than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be in honor." He said, "I have no honor within my own home, but I have honor from my people." Yeah. But David gave the only natural answer: "I danced before the Lord, not before you. Therefore I will play, therefore I will celebrate before Jehovah, I'll be more vile. I will be more degrading. I will be more humiliated. I don't care because I'm praising my God. Let people look at me. That's okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing my sister. Thank you, Lord, for touching my grandbaby. Thank you, Lord, for providing our needs. Thank you, Lord, for coming at the last minute when we're very, what are we going to do? We trust you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Celebrate. Praise him. He deserves the glory. He said, that is, if my worship of Jehovah, my heart and my bodily moments of joy is vile and base, I shall be more so, he said, more I will worship him. For all the more, whether it is honorable to worship Jehovah, thus in your eyes or not, it will be acceptable with the handmaidens, and with the people. They rejoiced with David, except for his wife. I will rejoice. He says, today we offer a sacrifice of praise, you and I, to the Lord. Hebrews 13:15 tells us. We thank him for what he does by praising. We praise his name. We tell others of what God has done for us. We give glory, we give praise to him, because we know where our strength comes from. We know who provides for us. We know that he is our Jehovah Jireh. We know that he's our Jehovah Rapha. We know that he is everywhere present. We need not worry. We need not worry. Go to the rock of our salvation. That is Jesus Christ. Go to the rock that we know that is able. We go to him. There is no better way to praise him than to dance before the Lord like David did. We dance with all our might. It is through joy flowed. It is as though the joy flowed through David pores. He couldn't contain himself. He was free in the liberty to praise God. Brothers and sisters, today you and I, here in this church, we are free. We have that liberty to praise God. If you want to stand and celebrate and praise God, do so. Don't hold back. Praise God, because you're not praising men. You're praising God, the Almighty. That needs to be praised. Celebrations for accompaniments. Excuse me. Are definitely in order. We celebrate your birthdays. We celebrate. We celebrated Pastor Kavika and Caitlin's wedding. That was a celebration. We celebrate when you have a pay raise. We celebrate. We are joyful. We thank God. We celebrate. Whatever occasion we can, we celebrate. Yeah? Yeah? Let's get together. Let's celebrate. Let's get together, brothers and sisters. Let's celebrate. Let's lift up our hands. Let's praise the Lord. Let's give him a clap. Let's give him a sound of praise. Let's praise him for who he is. Praise the Lord. Praise his holy name. If you want to dance, go ahead and dance. If you want to shout, go ahead and shout. You want to jump, go ahead and jump. You're free in the Lord. You have been set free from the sin. You have to celebrate. You're not going to just sit down and hold your praise. You need to praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank God. So when you celebrate, you don't do it quietly. Lord, we celebrate God. We do it with all our might, with all our hearts, with all that is within us. We praise God. Exodus 14. Excuse me. Now many plagues have fallen, as you all know, on Egypt, afflicting only the Egyptians and their possessions. And these plagues were divine judgments serving to punish the Egyptians for their adultery and for the cruel treatment of the Israelites. The miracle of the plagues should have been sufficient to remove all fear from the Hebrews. But as most people, their fears came between the mountain peaks of miracles. Israel knew that Egypt's army, 800 chariots, 200,000 footmen, were pursuing them. They were afraid when they came. Then they came to the water, to the edge of the Red Sea. And when they looked behind them, of course, there were the Egyptians coming after them. And their fears seemed valid because where were they going to go? The Red Sea in front, the Egyptians in the back, both sides were mountains. They were trapped. You say, Awe, what could happen now? But we know a God. We know a God. With all appearances, 2 million Israelites were doomed. But guess what? Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Perhaps they had forgotten that they were covered by the blood of the Lamb, protected by the cloud and the fire. Because in the back of them, when they stopped and grumbled and said, "You should have left us in Egypt. We could have died there. You'd have to die over here in the water." Yeah. Sometimes I sound like, "All these chickens over here making a mess. When are you going to do this?" Huh? Well, okay, this was a battle, brothers and sisters, between God and Pharaoh. Not between Israel and Pharaoh. Perhaps Pharaoh and Israel thought the Hebrews were being driven to the edge and being left there abandoned by God. But the fate of Israel would be determined by Pharaoh rather than God. Well, God told Moses, "Lift up your rod." And what did Moses, he told the people? In verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you." Ah, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Hallelujah. Cause for celebration. The Lord will fight for you. Each one of you, the Lord will fight for you. He will fight for you. He sent his angel. The angel went behind of the Egyptians, stirred up. The cloud came. The cloud brought darkness to the Egyptians. They didn't see where they were going. The light of the fire of God came before the Israelites. The sea was open. Praise God. Hallelujah. The sea was open. The east wind came, dried up the bottom of the ocean. They crossed over dry land. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They crossed over dry land. Took them all night, but they crossed over dry land, brothers and sisters. They crossed over. And when the last foot of the last Israelites touched the other side, Moses' rod came down, the waters covered the enemy. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is greater than your enemy, brothers and sisters. God is greater than an old liar, Satan. God is greater, brothers and sisters. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Oh, he wants to step on us. He wants to drown us in the Red Sea. But brothers and sisters, we have a God who is the God of impossibilities. He says, I can do it. I will do it if you trust in me. Brothers and sisters, nothing is impossible that God cannot do for you. You have a stack of bills here to pay. There's no money to come to pay your bills. But brothers and sisters, God provides. God provides. God makes a way. You keep on trusting. You keep on praying. You keep on praising. You keep on rejoicing. You keep on lifting your hands. You keep on saying, God can. God can. God will. He will provide. And he does. Don't lose faith. The Lord shall fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. Our scripture verse is explicit, is absolute, is for sure. You can put your life on your scripture of God. When we are covered by the blood, sealed by the Spirit, the battle is the Lord's, not ours. God will fight for us. In the next chapter 15, you don't have to turn to it. It's a song of praise that David writes, a song of deliverance. He praises God. The people began to sing. The people began to praise. The people began to thank God. The people began to rejoice. Marion got her tambourine and praised God. The women all praised God. Got the tambourine and praised God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is great. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the Lamb. To the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, brothers and sisters, he deserves our praises. He deserves it. He deserves it. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate God's power. Let's celebrate God's love. Let's celebrate God's protection. Let's celebrate. Look to. Brothers and sisters, we celebrate. We sing that song Christmas time. Everybody likes to, you know, come and ring your bells, have a, whatever. Have a holiday, sing a holiday. Everybody likes to celebrate. Celebrate. Well, Luke 2 is the story of Christmas. For unto us is born this day, you know, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the baby. Why do we celebrate Jesus' birthday so differently from other birthdays? Because it is proper. It is proper that we celebrate Jesus as a child. Think about it. When he was born, shepherds came to honor him, and later the wise men came and brought their gifts. Now, these people had no idea that Jesus Christ would eventually accomplish as an adult. But they were right in doing what they did, because Jesus' birth was the most remarkable event in human history. How amazing! How amazing when you think about it. God in human form. Huh? The creator of the universe visiting this planet. And let's never hesitate to celebrate the baby of Christmas. You know, marvel at his incarnation. Stand at awe that the tiny baby who had created the universe. And then step back in wonder of, as the story gets even better. You know, the baby grew into manhood, lived a perfect life, willingly died for your sins and mine. Celebrate the baby. Trust the Savior. This is what makes Christmas complete. You know, hooray for Christmas tree. Yeah, and candle lights. And the good old church pageants. Hooray for shepherd boys who forget their lines. Hooray for little boys, boy sheep, who wear their father's white undershirts because they're sheep. And hooray for a Mary who giggles. And hooray for a wise man whose beard falls off. And that was destiny. To one of the wise men, her beard fell off. I mean, you know, you can clap for angels in clad in pajamas. I mean, but Christmas cards, for the food that we celebrate at Christmas, we say hooray for that. And we thank God for the hallelujahs we can see on the people's faces to sing. We praise God, thank God, oh holy night, silent night, you know. But go, let the bells ring and let us sing with the heavenly hosts, you know. For unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, hallelujah. Oh, and all of these we believe, and you probably know the story of Christmas by heart, yeah? And you know all of this that had happened. As Christians, we may feel that we know every word that there is to know about Christmas. Oh, yes, we know it all. This story is the center of our Christmas celebration and festivities, after all. Yet, have we lost that awe? Have we lost that humble wonder of the birth of Jesus? Have we lost the meaning of Christmas? You know, everybody say, oh, Jesus is the reason for the season. Is he really the reason for the season for you? Are you more concerned about making sure the children have their gifts? Are you more concerned about shopping and making sure you get the tree up in certain time? Are you making sure that you have all your food ready for your Christmas celebration? Forget about the baby? No. Let us celebrate. Let us celebrate the Christ child who came to die for us, brothers and sisters. Celebrate Christmas. Thank you, God, who loved us and gave us your only son. He sacrificed his son. Why? Because he loved us. He didn't want to see us perish. So he sent his son to die for you and I. So we have much rejoicing to do, praising and thanksgiving to the God of love who sent us his son as we celebrate the Christmas season. Another celebration is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:6 says, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." In 1 Corinthians 15:20, "Now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that sleep." Celebrate, brothers and sisters, he became the first fruits. Jesus Christ opened up the way when he resurrected from the dead. Death could not hold him. The Lord is risen. Luke 24:34 tells us, "The Lord is risen." Let us celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us be thankful that he arose and opened up the way for you and I to make heaven our home. If Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, if he didn't conquer death, if he didn't step Satan on his head and say, "You lose, brah, because I have victorious. I am victorious over death." Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Death cannot hold us. Death cannot hold us. We have hope. We have hope through Jesus Christ. There is hope for your loved one who have died in Christ, that one day when it is our turn, that we are not afraid of death, because death has no sting. Death cannot hold us. Jesus opened up the way. Jesus did it all for you and I. So we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank him. We thank him. And we say, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying for you, for us." So the resurrection is really the completion of the atoning death of Jesus. It means that we have a sympathetic high priest in heaven who has lived our life, knows our sorrows and our infirmities, and is able to give us power to live the Christ life light every day of our lives until he comes. It means that we may know that those who have gone before us, that we shall see them one day. Yeah. That is our hope that we have. In Proverbs 15:15 tells us that we celebrate laughter. "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Laughter is a gift of God. It brightens our good times, and it lightens the rough ones. Laughter even has a healing quality to it. People have recovered from serious diseases by learning to laugh each day. Even more people have regained the courage to go on in painful circumstances when they are able to laugh." Proverbs 17:22 also says that a cheerful heart is good medicine. Laughter can draw others to you and lighten your load in life. When you begin to laugh at life and at yourself, you gain new perspective of your struggles. You begin to see a speck of light at the end of the tunnel. A life without laughter quickly becomes a ground for depression, physical illness, and a critical spirit. But laughter fills life. A laughter-filled life unleashes the spirit of celebration. So cultivate the spirit of celebration in your life by making room for laughter. Seek it out. Begin today as you smile at someone and find something worth laughing about. As the laughter as the laughter fills your life, the spirit of celebration will take root in your heart. And you will discover the meaning of another proverb, a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Celebrate, brothers and sisters. Thank God. Lift up your hands and praise God. Thank God for another year of life, for your birthday. Thank God, brother, for his birthday. Thank God, Willie, for your birthday. Thank God for all of us here. Thank God for answered prayers. Praise God. And also keep rejoicing in the Lord. Keep rejoicing in the Lord. When my phone rings and I look at what my phone says, your favorite child, it makes me laugh because that's Tammy being crazy. So it makes me laugh, you know, and when I answer and I always tell her, I don't say hello, you know. I said, you know, that is not true. You're not the favorite. I have another son. I have another child. You're not the only one. You know, she said, oh, mother. She said, oh, mother. You know, I'm your favorite. Don't fight it. And one day she calls Papa, Ed, and she's, hello, dairy man. And he's over there. And he's already laughing. And she says, you know, my children like drink chocolate milk, you know. You sell brown cow. She makes us laugh. Laughter is good for the soul. Laughter is good for the soul. So brothers and sisters, praise God. Celebrate. Thank God. Laugh. Give thanks in your bad times. Give thanks in your good times. Praise God. Amen.